ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, entitled Enumeration of Elements of Material Creation, text number 38. Dhyayan Mano Nu Vishayan.
Dhyayan Mano Nu Vishayan.
Dhyayan Mano Nu Vishayan. दृष्टान वानु शुतानथ दृष्टान वानु शुतानथ उद्यत्सीदत् कर्मतंत्रम् उद्यत्सीदत् कर्मतंत्रम् स्मृतिस्तद् अनुशाम्यति स्मृतिस्तद् अनुशाम्यति ध्यायन् मनोनु विषयान् दृष्टान् वानु श्रुतानथ उद्यत्सीदत् कर्मतन्त्रम् स्मृतिस्तदनुशाम्यति ध्यायन् मनोनु विषयान् दृष्टान् वानु श्रुतानथ उद्यत्सीदत् कर्मतन्त्रम् स्मृतिस्तदनुशाम्यति ध्यायत् Meditating. Manaha, the mind. Anu, regularly. Vishayan, of the sense objects. Drishtan, seen. Va, or. Anushrutan, heard from Vedic authority. Atha, subsequently. Udyat, rising. Siddhat, dissolving. Karma tantram, bound to the reactions of fruitive work. Smriti, remembrance. Tat anu, after that. Shamyati, is destroyed. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The mind, bound to the reactions of fruitive work, always meditates on the objects of the senses, both those that are seen in this world and those that are heard about from Vedic authority. Consequently, the mind appears to come into being and to suffer annihilation along with its objects of perception, and thus its ability to distinguish past and future is lost. Purport. One may ask how the subtle body or mind gives up its connection with one physical body and enters another. Such entering and leaving of physical bodies is called birth and death by conditioned souls. One utilizes his present senses to meditate on the visible objects of the world, beautiful women, palatial estates and so on. And similarly, one daydreams about the heavenly planets described in the Vedas. As death occurs, the mind is pulled away from the objects of its immediate experience and enters another body to experience a new set of sense objects. As the mind undergoes total reorientation, there is the apparent loss of one's previous mentality and creation of a new mind. though actually the same mind is experiencing but in a different way. The conditioned soul is overwhelmed by the constant flow of material experience consisting of direct perception and abstract contemplation of the objects of this world. One thereby loses his transcendental memory of the relationship with the God. As soon as one identifies with this world, he forgets his eternal identity and surrenders to the false ego created by Maya. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurve Mana Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this chapter we are reading about all the material elements. So there is a vast description about the material world and what it's made up of. So it's like broken down into pieces, and then they say there are so many elements. So it's like this process is called Sankhya Yoga, in which you enumerate and learn about all the different elements and their connections with each other. But the goal, as the word says, Sankhya Yoga. So that Sankhya means to count, enumeration. But the main, the important word is Yoga, Sankhya Yoga. So Yoga means, unless you understand how it links up to the source of all the elements, unless you know that, all, you know, counting and enumeration is of no use. So just by counting, it doesn't help. Okay, these many elements are there, so then what? So main thing is to understand soul and super soul. So that's most important. And we'll read one verse later on from 10th canto, in which it describes how the whole material creation, what it's made of, and these two spiritual elements of soul and the super soul, they are most important. So enumeration means their link has to be established. So that's the main thing to understand. So now Sankhya yogis, they are describing there may be 24 elements or 17 elements like that. So they have different viewpoints, and then they are trying to count. So, and it's not an easy process. It's a very difficult task to enumerate, to understand. It's, you know, it requires study and contemplation, and a lot of work is required. So most people in this day and age, Kali Yuga, they are not interested in what's material world is made of. They just want, oh, this is good for me, this is not good for me. It's like very low grade of existence. So they don't care what it's made, whole material world is made of. Very few are, very few. Most of them, they are interested in, this is like existence of animals. They like, animals have, like many animals have good sense of smell. So if you see, like in here it's hard to see, but in India, even in cities, if you step out of your house, there are many animals roaming about, you know, cows and like that, cows and dogs and everything, just roaming about freely. It's a free country. So, so if you observe them, they people, they throw out the leftover food on the street, and then cow will come and smell, and if it likes it, it will eat, otherwise go, like that. Similarly, you know, dog will be there and different animals are there. So this is the existence. So they smell it, oh, this is good, and then, oh, this is not good, they go away. This is the existence of animals. They, by smell or different senses, by sight, so they observe and they smell. So they accept and reject this, you know, only on basis of this experience on the platform of the senses. So, and most people are like that these days. So if they observe different objects, so then they think, oh, this is good for me, so I want this. So, you know, that's how it starts. There is no higher intelligence being used there. So just by this impulse, like there is a shopper, impulsive shopper. So he goes in the supermarket, he doesn't have his list, you know, he has not planned, oh, I want this, this, you know. So he goes in one aisle and, oh, this is good, and he ends up loading the whole trolley like that. So that's not very intelligent. So most people, they at the moment, they are on that low level of existence. But there are few people who have this little higher intelligence, and they are using that intelligence to discover something, invent something like that. Similarly, scientists are trying, you know, to go to the moon and Mars and to see the limits of the universe, make satellites like that. So this work is going on, and this had been going on from long time. As we see, these scriptures have been written long ago, and various philosophers and scientists, they have enumerated these elements like that. But here it's discussed, as in translation it says, the mind bound to the reactions of fruitive work always meditates on the objects of senses. So once you once we forget the creator of all the elements, so then you just see the enumerated all the elements, and then all the material objects attract, you know, attract the senses. So these become objects of senses. So what happens? Mind becomes attached to that. So as in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Bhagavad Gita tells the whole cycle, what happens. The whole cycle is given. And verse also is similar. It starts as like this. Dhyayato vishyan pumsa sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo vijayate. So by dhyaya, like meditating, it says here. So by contemplating the objects of senses, now you have a set of senses and you have set sense objects. So now, and there is, you know, creator of senses, sense objects, he is out of picture. So that's it. These two are there, like Devamrita Maharaj was telling yesterday, this reciprocation. People are after reciprocation with the material energy. So this is there. So reciprocation means the senses are there, the sense objects are there, there is nothing else. So there has to be an exchange. The, you know, reciprocation has to be there. So it makes sense, you know. Like there is a magnet, there is a positive pole, negative pole. So that's it, it attracts like that. So this is the senses and sense objects. So what happens? So first the contemplation starts. So dhyayato vishyan pumsa sangasteshu bujayate. So when you think about something, meditate upon it, then what happens? You get attached to it. Then you, this is common, you can see very easily. If you want a particular phone, you just think about it. Oh, this phone is like that. Oh, I saw the advertisement, it has good features, iPhone 4 or something. I've been getting emails, it says pictures, you know, nice. So this, you think of it, and you have seen it, so you contemplate about it. So what happens? You become attached to the objects of senses like that, and then sangasteshu bhujayate sangas sanjayate kaam. So then lust arises, so then you want it like that. So when lust arises, it's out of mode of passion. So you just want it, you hanker about it. And then what happens with the lust is, lust cannot be satisfied. material lust cannot be satisfied. So there are two ways. When lust basically means anything which is a broad definition would be any desire apart from satisfying Krishna is lust basically. So when lust is there and your sense objects is there, you try to satisfy the lust. So then what happens? If you feel the lust is not satisfied, then the anger will arise. So now you become frustrated. Oh, my lust is not satisfied. Then the anger comes. So that is in itself very bad. Anger is in mode of ignorance. But there is a worse case actually. If you feel your lust is not satisfied, then the anger will arise. So you are in a bad situation. But even worse is when you feel that your lust was satisfied little bit. That's even worse. So what happens? You thought, oh, lust was satisfied little bit, so I'll do little more, so I'll be satisfied more. So that's called greed. So that is more dangerous. Greed is more dangerous, most dangerous actually. Why is that? Because as you know, if you are angry, so the anger builds up within you, and basically if you put your anger out on someone or something, so temporarily you get calm. So you throw it out like that. But with the problem with greed is it is ever increasing. It increases and increases and increases. So that's why if you see there are so many rich people, they are not satisfied at all because their greed is increasing and increasing. They have billions of dollars, millions of dollars. So what else do they need? 99% people in the world will think, oh, this person who has billions of dollars would be more satisfied. But they are not satisfied because they thought, oh, their lust was little bit satisfied. Now they have these billions of dollars, but they want little more like that. And this is like an unending chain. So this is what happens. So greed, then lust, anger, greed. So these basically all these things, as in I think 16th chapter it says, these are the doors to hell. Three doors. Trividam, Narkasyedam, Dwaram, Nashanam, Atma. So these three, lust, anger and greed, these are the three doors to hell. So this is what happens. So it started, where did it start? So you have senses and then these sense objects are there and you thought about it. But where did it end? In the hell. So it started very simply with a small thought. Very small thought. Oh, what if I have this? And that's it. If it increases and increases, then you end up in hell because you start doing sinful activities. So you will do anything to acquire that sense object. There is no regard for the Vedic injunctions. You do anything because you have senses, there are sense objects, you want to get it. Whoever comes in the way is your enemy. And you want to eliminate him. And then you do everything possible and then you end up in the hell. So these three are the doors to hell. And same, those two verses, Dhyayato Vishyan Pumsa Sangaste Chupajate, it ends in how you're totally illusioned, your memory is lost and you end up in the material pool. So that's the fall down. So this human body it was in the first place meant for self-realization, but because of attraction for the sense object, the whole purpose is lost. Like that. So the goal of human life is to get out of the entanglement of these material elements. But if we take the owner, the proprietor of these elements and the creator of the elements out of picture, then we glide down to the cycle of birth and death and we continue there. So here as it says, the meditation. So this was the meditation on the sense objects, which causes one to land up in hell. So what should be the meditation? What should be the actual meditation be? As 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita says, the same mind, so mind, in the first place, mind was attached to the sense objects. So mind is like a real enemy. But 6th chapter says, mind is can be a friend as well. So we need not criticize the mind, oh this mind, you know, when I chant my mind goes here and there, oh this mind and mind. But no, mind is can be a friend as well, if it is controlled. So then, it's just we have to change the picture. So instead of meditating on the sense objects, what do we have to meditate on? Meditate on Lord Shri Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna, because He is the absolute truth, yeah? And He is the cause of all causes. So that's why we have to meditate on Him. That's why, like, that's the first verse of Bhagavatam. It says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, this is one of the verses we are learning for our Bhakti Vaibhav. It's a long verse, so I was trying. So it says, Om, my Lord, Shri Krishna, O son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. And I meditate on you because you are absolute truth, like that. So this should be the real meditation. So this meditation, because Krishna is also called Mukunda, He gives liberation. So if we meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna, this entanglement from these material elements, that is broken, and then we get liberation, like that. So another thing mentioned here is, as death occurs, the mind is pulled away from the objects, from its immediate experience, and enter another body to experience a new set of objects. So this is the entanglement further described here, that how life after life, this mind pulls us down like that. So we have a set of sense objects in this life, and then if we are not satisfied, at the time of death, whatever is our meditation, next life we get a body so that we can fulfill those desires. So in the first place we had this desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. And also we were reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, another place it's given that how constantly actually, like the soul, the nature of soul is to enjoy. Anandmayo Vyasat. That's the nature of soul. Always it's desiring. So the soul is always desiring for something. Why? To get happiness. It's as simple as that. You want something because you want to be happy. And that's natural for the soul to be happy. So that's not wrong. To seek happiness is not wrong. But what is wrong, you have to look for happiness at the right, in the right place. So there is a story of Narad Muni given in his previous life. This life is Narad Muni, son of Brahma. But in his previous life, he was son of the maid servant, Shudra woman. And then he was his mother used to serve various people. And once there were Bhakti Vedantas, pure devotees of Krishna. They came and his mother was serving them, and he also, he was just 5 years old, he was also serving those Bhakti Vedantas. But he was a very sensible boy, he was not naughty, he was very silent, calm, like that. And he also served, and he took remnants of food left by those Bhakti Vedantas, and he got purified. And then when his mother passed away, he went to the forest and did meditation, and he saw Krishna face to face, and then Krishna disappeared. So but the main point there is very nice. It's written that how it says actually we are always from life to life, we are actually looking after that form, we are searching for that form. Originally we were in spiritual world, we were seeing that most beautiful form in front of us, face to face. But we thought, is there anything else? And we just turned away for a moment, and this is our whole millions of lifetimes here. So, now constantly in these millions of lifetimes, we are searching for that particular form. And each time we are defeated. Because there is no form in this material world which can come any close to that superior, most beautiful form of Shyam Sundar. So this is what's going on. So if the living entities sooner or later realizes that, and that can happen only by mercy of Guru and Krishna. As it says, Brahmand Brahmite, Kona Bhagyavanji, Guru Krishna Prasadifai Bhakti Ladavi. So we are just from body to body, from universe to universe, planet to planet, we are just from different bodies, we are just travelling. And in each body, we are looking for that particular happiness. And yesterday, actually evening, we had a gathering and Srimadev Amrit Maharaj was there. So he was telling that how the thing that we have got now, like all the devotees, practicing devotees, this bhakti, this is so rare. This is very, very rare. This is as rare as he was mentioning that example, like there is, if there is a plank of wood in the ocean, so what is the chance of that? It's a big ocean, the specific ocean, or if you see big ocean and there is a small piece of wood in the middle of ocean, what is the chance that it will come to the shore? Very less probability. So this is like that. The living entity in the ocean of material existence, going from planet to planet, Brahmand Brahmita, is like doing, you know, parikrama in the whole Brahmand in different bodies, and how it comes to the shore of bhakti and rests there at the lotus feet of Krishna. This is very rare. So what lesson we can learn is that this, we can increase our gratitude that, I have got this very rare thing with me. So we have to value it, and we have to put our full heart into it and become more sincere. So in whatever service we are doing, all services are on absolute platform, because anything related to Krishna, because he is absolute truth, so anything related to Krishna is also absolute. So but if whatever service we have, if we think this is the most important service that I can do at the moment, so then you do it very nicely with the full heart, and then Krishna will reciprocate. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam satai bhajami. As you approach Krishna, then that's how he will reciprocate. If you approach Krishna with a sincere heart, there is quick reciprocation. If you approach Krishna with a cheating mentality, so that he is the biggest cheater. You can't cheat Krishna, because he will always cheat you. Because he knows, he is within the heart, he knows what's in your mind, what's in your heart, like that. So, and also this like whole, the purpose, like here it says, this attraction to the sense objects causes your fall down, and similarly, if you meditate on lotus feet of Krishna, this can bring you out of this entanglement. So in Bhagavad Gita it says how this entanglement happens, the living entity, how the living entity gets entangled in the material world. So it says the whole material world is like a tree, it's like a tree. So 15th chapter, first verse, it says, it's like a tree, but this is like a perverted reflection. So if you see on the bank of a lake, there is a tree. If you see in the lake, there is another tree. That's the reflection of it. So this is like the material world. It's like perverted reflection. So what's topmost in the spiritual world is the lowest in the material world. It's like that. So topmost in spiritual world is, you know, Krishna's relationship with all the residents of Vrindavan, nice relationships. And similarly, these relationships, these temporary relationships in material world, and if you get attached to those relationships, that's the cause of further bondage, like that. So I would like to read that verse from 10th canto, if you can get 10th canto first. So that shows that that verse in 10th canto, it's prayers of like when Krishna entered the womb of Devaki, and Devaki and Vasudeva was imprisoned by Kamsa, and then demigods came to know, oh, Krishna is coming, and they all came to offer their prayers. In that prayer, there's this description of the whole material world as a tree, and it's very poetic. And in this chapter, it was very relevant when I was reading. This chapter says enumeration, that you are counting 1, 2, 3 like that. So similarly, this verse here, it's enumeration given from 1 to 10. It counts and it tells how this material world, which is like a tree, is different numbers are given. So we won't read, we'll just read from the translation. So it says the body, the total body of the and the individual body are of the same composition, may be figuratively called the original tree. So now numbers will be given 1 to 10. So 1 is this one whole body, the whole if you say all the material elements taken together, so that's the whole universal body is 1. So from this tree, which fully depends on the ground of material nature, comes two kinds of fruit. So now what's two? There are two fruits on the tree. And what are the fruits? The enjoyment of happiness and the suffering of distress. So two fruits are there on the tree. So suffering and happiness. And then the cause of the tree forming its three roots in the is the association with three modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. So there are three roots of the tree: goodness, passion and ignorance. And the fruits of bodily happiness have four tastes. So all these fruits are four tastes: religiosity, basically dharma, artha, kama, moksha, like that. These are the four tastes, which are experienced through five senses for acquiring knowledge. In the midst of six circumstances: lamentation, illusion, old age, death, hunger and thirst. There are seven layers of the bark covering the tree. Like this whole body, you can see it's made of basically four layers. That's skin, blood, muscle, fat, bone, marrow and semen. And there are eight branches on the tree, which are the five gross and three subtle elements: earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. So that's the eight branches of the tree. And then the whole tree or the body has nine hollows. The eyes, the ears, nostril, the mouth, rectum and genitals. And there are 10 leaves. So there are 10 ears through the body. So basically that's what this body is made of. So made of three modes of material nature, these different elements. There are 9 holes. Like that this verse describes. And then in the end it says, in this tree of the body there are 2 birds. One is the individual soul and other is the super soul. So that is the most important. If we have understood that, yes, these are the constituents of the body, these are the material elements, but what's most important is these 2 birds living on the tree. So within the heart there are these 2 birds. One is us, that is the soul, and the super soul. So and one, if you see in Bhagavad Gita, old edition, I saw the old edition, in that there is a green tree and these 2 parrots are there. So one is trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree, and that was a very nice graphic picture. That parrot was very like looking very nasty, very, you know, it was like and in the old edition, the new edition it doesn't come, that picture. So in the old edition I saw, and that bird is trying to, you know, take the fruit, very selfish, you know, in one corner he had this, you know, all the feathers on his head, something like that. So he's trying to enjoy the fruit of the tree, and the other bird is just silently sitting and he's witnessing. That's the super soul. So that's the role of super soul, to witness and sanction. Uptrashta anumantacha bharta bhukta masha. So he's sanctioning, and so from life after life this bird is going from tree to tree in search of different fruits, And this other bird is just witnessing that when will this other bird turn to me? He's waiting. He's the best friend. Although we didn't want to, we wanted to enjoy separate from him, but he still came as a well-wisher, you know, with us. And in different bodies, he still accompanies us. So what is our duty is that here it says, one thereby loses his transcendental memory of his relationship with God. So our goal to enumerate all the material elements, to understand the material world, is to re-establish our relationship with God. So that's the real goal. And this process of bhakti yoga, chanting and hearing, that's most important. Because if we chant and hear, then the third process happens, the remembering. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So if you speak about someone, if you hear about someone, then you will remember that person. So that's why hearing and chanting is so important. Because main, as you said, there are only two most important things, is everything melts in two things. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So how will that happen? By constant and regular hearing and chanting. Then you can remember Krishna all the time. And that can be our real meditation. So here we said that how mind, by meditating on the sense object, becomes entangled. So what is the solution? To meditate about on Krishna by the regular chanting and hearing process. So I would like to end there and ask if there is any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Yes. It's not really the relationship with Krishna and the devotees and brides who is perverted, but more that his relationship with the younger girls was seen as perverted.
Sorry, Prabhu, can you say that again?
Krishna's relationship with the gopis was seen as, you know, perverted.
Yes, see.
But his relationships with the residents of Rosh, like very sweet. Very sweet. So, you would say this.
Right. Yeah, basically, what I meant, like, in if you see the, in spiritual world, there's five rasas, you know, Shanta, Dasya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. So Madhurya is considered, it's all on the same level, but most sweet, or the sweetest is considered Madhurya. That's the topmost in spiritual world. So that's the relationship between young girls and Krishna, who's a young boy. So similarly, in material world, a similar relationship between young boys and girls is considered most perverted. That's what I meant, basically. So what is highest in the spiritual world? Yeah, I didn't say it directly. I didn't say on purpose, but if you asked, didn't want to mention. So that's most perverted here. So if you see, if you go to city outside, that's very common. Because we want that relationship, actually, which is highest. In material world, we can just imitate that. And that's most perverted. So, yeah. It's true.
When you think of yourself as the most important service, putting your mind and energy into it, then Krishna reciprocates more. How do you maintain that? Because we do different services all the time, and sometimes the guy is just cleaning up the painting up the meetings or sweeping the back, just something that is something ordinary. How do you maintain in the way you can think this is all it is, nice for Krishna?
Basically, in the beginning, it's we don't have taste for it, for any service, for chanting, for hearing. We don't have taste. But by doing it as a matter of duty, so Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, this regulate, all rules and regulations, there are two types. First is Vaidhi Sadhana, means we do it as a matter of duty. and then raganuka sadhana. If we do that as a matter of duty, then taste will develop. Nash prayashvavadeshu nityam bhagavat sevya. If we regularly hear this bhagavatam and do our services, then whatever is troubling our heart will go away. So we should have that faith and associate with the devotees who are fixed, so we can be fixed. So as initially, as a matter of duty we have to do, then slowly taste will come. So we can see, some, it's not like we don't have any taste. Yeah? We have some taste, some aspect of Krishna, we have taste for that. Kirtan or Bhagavatam or Prasadam, everyone has taste, like that. So some taste is there. So we just have to do all service as a matter of duty, then slowly taste, spontaneity will come. And does that answer? Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitya Gaur Premanande ki.